Christ, we will not be troubled, nor will we be afraid as we live in this troubled world. How simple, and yet, at the same time, how difficult. I mean, Jesus' parting gift to the disciples and to all believers is his peace. This clicker's driving me crazy. However, thanks, yeah. This one's not working well. However, really, if we look at it, peace is elusive in this fallen world. I mean, turmoil and strife rules the world. I mean, we have turmoil internally at times. We have turmoil within our families and in our city and in our nation, and especially among nations, the turmoil is the norm for this fallen world. I searched as I prepared for this message, and I found that currently there are 65 countries experiencing armed conflicts or war. And these armed conflicts within the 65 countries total 638 ongoing armed clashes or battles. The USA has not declared a war since World War II. Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and many other conflicts have been unofficial wars. Currently, under the Special Operations Command of the U.S., we have military personnel in over 134 countries. Historians also record and calculate that in the previous 5,000 years, the world has seen less than 300 years of peace. And if we consider the beginning of the scriptures and we look at the life of Cain and Abel, I really even doubt if there's been 300 years of peace. In the last 500 years, history records that there have been over 8,000 peace treaties violated and broken. There have been over 14,000 major wars with an estimated casualty of 4 billion people. So even though we hear all the time talk about global peace, and some countries say they even want to seek a global peace, our world is unable to achieve any real peace. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and a theologian and an anti-Nazi dissident, and he was one of the founding members of what is called the Professing Church. His writings have had great impact upon our Christian community and upon my own life, as he wrote often about how Christians are to behave and interface and react to a messed up world. Bonhoeffer was known by his staunch resistance against the Nazi dictatorship of Adolf Hitler. He often vocally opposed Hitler's genocidal oppression of the Jews. He was also known at the same time as a man of peace. So he was arrested in April of 1943 for his opposition to Hitler, and he was arrested by the Gestapo and imprisoned for a year and a half. After that, he was transferred to a concentration camp. And during his time in both the Nazi prison and in the concentration camp, he brought many people to Christ because they saw his inward peace. So, after he was transferred to the concentration camp, he was hung on April 9th, 1945, just 2 weeks before the Nazi regime collapsed and the Allied troops rescued all those in the concentration camp he was at. And just 3 weeks before Hitler committed suicide. This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to say about peace. He said, "There is no way to peace along the way of safety. For peace must be dared. It is itself the great venture and can never be safe. Peace is the opposite of security. The demand guarantees is to want to protect oneself. Peace means giving oneself completely to God's commandment, wanting no security, but in faith and in obedience, laying the destiny of the nations in the hand of Almighty God, not trying to direct it for selfish purposes. Battles are won not with weapons, but with God. They are won when the way leads to the cross." This is very different from the common thought of peace in the world. Bonhoeffer knew peace, even in the midst of turmoil and imprisonment. And he knew it because he was given that peace by Jesus Christ. Peace truly is elusive for the unsaved world. People desire peace in their personal lives. In fact, often aren't our conversations filled with concepts of peace? I mean, people speak of seeking peace and quiet. They want to make peace with their past. They want the police and the military to keep the peace. And as we approach the end of life, often we have a desire to rest in peace. See, as Bonhoeffer stated, peace is only found at the foot of the cross and surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is difficult, even for Christians, because we live in a torn up, messed up world full of conflict and war, and our own nation is divided because our nation no longer worships and fears a holy God. I mean, we live in a state that's divided over so many issues. We live in a city where gang violence is growing and people have little consideration for their brothers and sisters. We even have conflict within our own souls. I mean, even though we're believers, at times the battle rages within us between our selfish desires and surrendering our life truly to Jesus Christ. We live in this torn up world and we live a life of waiting in some ways. We are waiting for the return of our King. And when the disciples came to Jesus and were concerned about this because they knew he was leaving, they asked and they said, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will the sign of your coming and the end of the ages?" And Jesus answered them and said, "See that no one leads you astray." We live in a world that is leading many, many people astray. The only way to prevent us as believers from being led astray is we need to be studying the Bible, praying on it, worshiping God without compromise. We cannot compromise what the Scriptures teach as the right way to live. Jesus continues and he says, "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Christ.' And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." People, we see it all the time. I mean, we have Facebook now. And we have BBC and the internet. Aren't people claiming to be the returned Christ? I mean, every week somebody says they're the Christ that has come back. And we just saw that there's conflicts and wars in over 65 countries currently going on. And so there are rumors of new wars constantly as well. As we continue in verse 6, it says, "See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet." See, as Christians, we are called to live in this world, have an impact on this world, but at the same time, we are not to be of this world. We are to be separate from the temptations and what's going on in this world. God calls us to have an influence for truth and justice and stand up for what is right. And as we do so, we are supposed to be sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with anybody who will listen. And yet, we're to do it with peace. When we are obedient to God's command, then we do have peace. We find peace in our souls and peace in our life, even like Bonhoeffer. If we are arrested, if we are put in a concentration camp, we will know peace if we're abiding in Christ. See, Jesus tells us, he continues in verse 7 and 8, says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Certainly is what's happening all over the world. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. There was just an earthquake in Nepal. 1,000 people have died. See, so the question is, are there more earthquakes and wars, or do we just have better communications and know about them? But this is what will continue until Christ comes back. As the world tears itself apart in conflict over power and control, Christians will become a thorn in the side of evil men who are inflicting pain on their fellow man. See, it tells us then in verse 9, "Then they will deliver you," talking about Christians, not talking about the unsaved, "they will deliver you to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for the namesake of our Lord Jesus Christ." See, Bonhoeffer experienced this very thing, and we see it continuing all around us. People are not allowed to criticize anybody's lifestyle, anybody's religion, with the one exception of the world is beginning to berate and hate Christians. Continuing then, it says in verse 10 and 12, it says, "And then many will fall away and betray one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." So because the world no longer fears God, historically, even though they were false gods, many parts of the world always had a fear for the supernatural, for God. But the world no longer does this, really. And it's in a downward spiral. And this downward spiral is going to continue until Christ comes back. Because of fear and lack of peace, some who call themselves Christian will leave the church and join the lawlessness of the world. Back now in verse 13, it says, "But the one who endures to the end will be saved." I mean, we are called to endure all things for the cause of Christ. We are called to be faithful to Him. And we're called to do this while we live in a lost world. And you know, I'm over 60 years old now. Unfortunately, it's going to be harder on our children and our children's children than it has been on me. And so we have a responsibility then as a community and as a church that we must prepare our children. We must teach them. We must help them understand what it means to seek out Christ so they will have the Word of God in their hearts and in their minds and in their mouths so they can share the gospel, because true peace is found in Christ alone and nowhere else. As I finish this section of Matthew in verse 14, it says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all nations, and the end will come." This is our job. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the lost world. The theological argument among all the big thinkers in Christianity is, when the end comes, is at the end of missions, or is it the end when Jesus Christ comes? Well, obviously, we have no control over when Jesus comes back. God knows that, and only He. The world in its sin is speeding like a comet towards the sun. And we know what happens to a comet as it grows closer to the sun. It burns itself up and evaporates. I mean, this is what's going to continue to happen. And at some point, then God is sending back Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and He will come and judge as a righteous judge, and eternity without sin will begin. I mean, Jesus called His disciples to have peace, even in the midst of conflicts all around them. The question then is, how do you find this peace when there's so much turmoil around us? And how can we hope to have this peace and keep it on a consistent basis in our hearts and minds? Answer is fairly simple. Doesn't mean it's simple to do, but the answer is simple. It is through faith that we can put fear outside of us, that we can follow Christ. Paul wrote that one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit in his letter to Galatians, he said, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." I mean, these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are intertwined. They cannot be separated. And they make up one fruit. To have peace, one must have the rest of the fruit. And if one has the rest of the fruit, then they will have peace. In the gospel, according to John, it's recorded that Jesus promises to prepare a home for us in heaven. For all believers. Whether we die before He returns, or we're part of the tribulation when He comes back, and He promises that He will return. But until Jesus returns, then He continues to do the work that God gave Him. He continues to do this work through Christians, through believers. And then He tells us to help us do the work of the gospel. He will listen to us and He will answer our prayers. And He will send the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit will dwell in us and give us wisdom and comfort and also bring us peace. The Holy Spirit who dwells in our soul does give us spiritual wisdom. And that's the reason unbelievers can read the Bible and it doesn't make sense to them, because they have no spiritual wisdom, because the Holy Spirit does not dwell in them. And as the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, we're able to have peace and surrender. And the more we surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit that's in us, then the more peace we'll have, as Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." See, when we live in faith, we will experience the peace that Jesus is talking about here, even in times of trouble. I mean, just as the disciples did, just as Bonhoeffer did, because we will possess this peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift that He gives to us as believers so that we will not be afraid to live boldly for the gospel of Jesus Christ in a world that hates us. So how simple, and at the same time, how very, very difficult it is to live consistently by faith. See, so Jesus' parting gift to the disciples and to all believers is peace. Jesus is telling the disciples in this passage we're looking at this morning that He's leaving, but He's leaving for them His gift, a gift of peace behind. And this is the same gift we experience today, 2,000 years later, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. I mean, the world speaks of wanting outward peace. We hear it all the time. But the truth is, the world will never achieve peace. Christ was about to suffer the violence of the crucifixion and death. And the disciples were greatly distressed and they were fearful. I mean, they had had all this conflict within their ranks because of Judas. They experienced trouble from the outside, from the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Jesus is now leaving. It is amid this tense time, this stressful time, that Jesus is speaking about this peace that the world has never known, will never know, but we can have. In times of outward peace, anybody can experience a superficial peace, can't they? Well, actually, I don't even know if that's true. Because I've known people, even in times of peace, they'll kill peace. That's what they do well. On the other hand, as history has shown, the world, not for any extended period of time whatsoever, has never known peace. And it takes this exceptional peace, this internal peace, this supernatural, spiritual peace, to know the peace of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus is speaking of. This is what the world will never have. This is what the world lacks, but we can exhibit. So in the midst of troubles and distress, we can know peace that is not human. It's Christ's peace. It's a supernatural peace. And it's a gift of God to His children who believe and are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Believers who have surrendered their lives to God. See, in Christ's absence, the devil has been given a certain amount of authority and reign to do evil. And he promotes evil throughout the world through evil men. So, this is why there is war and there is unrest and the evil all over the world, because Christ has given Satan a certain amount of latitude. I mean, I wish it wasn't this way. I honestly do. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure I fully understand why God allows this much violence and evil to rule in the world. But I do believe this. I believe God is God. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And that He has called us as Christians to stand up like Bonhoeffer did against evil. And yet to not be affected by evil. And to be able to do it with a sense of peace. When we do this, then we will know the peace that Christ is talking about here. And King Solomon, as I was studying this week, reminded me, he said, you know, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how the bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Even though I don't understand it all, I believe God is God, and what He does is right, and even if it's beyond our full understanding. The question for me, and I think the question for you then, is do we believe? Do we believe enough to truly trust God and surrender our lives to Him? Do we believe, not just a little bit, but do we believe with our heart and soul? But in order to believe, we have to let go of our desire to control. And especially for us men, that's a difficult thing. We want to control. And we have to give up our right to be upset about our lack of control. Because to be honest with you, we have such little control over so few things. And when we can do that, then that allows the Spirit to begin to work within us and bring peace into our lives. I mean, look around you. What is it the world truly gives to people? I mean, technology has changed drastically in the last 5,000 years. But men and women have not changed. And even though technology, King Solomon wrote something else. He wrote this, and it would be just as true today as at the time he wrote it. He said, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun. And behold, it is all vanity and striving after the wind. I mean, I remember when I was a young, arrogant man. I'm sure Joyce probably does too. And I thought I could have the world set on fire by the time I was 30. You know, and I worked hard, and with all my hard work, I accomplished a number of things. And from the world standard, I accomplished more than most men my age. But then as I hit my early 30s, I saw that it was all vanity. The truth was, I couldn't even see the world smoking, let alone being set on fire. I wasn't all I thought I was. See, I've been striving after the wind, and I didn't know true peace. I had no peace in my life. The world gives insincerely. The gifts of this world are not lasting. And they offer a false sense of peace. And it's a sense of peace that is so fleeting and so short term. I came to realize also, as I thought about these things in my 30s, that the world gives scantily. I mean, think about it. The world always gives less than it's able to. And so the world will always be full of the poor and the needy. Fallen men's hearts are insincere. And Jesus even spoke of this. He said, so when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. See, even as Christians, when we do good deeds, we have to look at it, because often we're doing it out of selfish motives. And then we know if we do it out of selfish motives, not only does it have no long-lasting value, but before God, it's considered filthy rags. Look at our welfare system. I think it started out with good intentions. It wanted to help people. But in most cases today, it doesn't help people in the long term. It traps them in a way of life that robs them of value and peace. And they know no peace. This is not how Christ gave. Christ, and how Christ continues to give this very day. Jesus gives out of sincerity. He gives out of genuine love for those who God has called to Him. He gives effectively. He gives abundantly. He gives bountifully. He gives out of a great compassion and need to want to love us as His children. I mean, Jesus' gift that we're talking about this morning of peace cost him dearly. It cost him his very life on the cross. This is what it means to have peace with God. Jesus, who was the Messiah, who is the Christ, made peace 2,000 years ago with God the Father, that we might be called his children. The children of God, we don't have to strive for peace. It's not something that we have to check off on a list to earn peace. Because Christ made peace for us, and he gave it to us as a gift. God wants us to have peace. When we surrender, we have peace in God. And having spiritual peace in Christ, we will grow in that peace until it becomes an abundance, until it's overflowing and it comes out of us. That's the reason Bonhoeffer in the concentration camp was able to bring people to Christ, even in the midst of all that pain and suffering. This is the model Jesus gave us while he was here on earth, with strife all around him. But Jesus had peace with God within himself, and he showed this peace to those who were around him. And this peace has two primary evidences that we can see if it is in our life. First, the peace is based on one's intimate knowledge of God by Christ and by the Spirit and by his word and by faith. And second, the peace of God, the peace of Christ, is entirely independent of circumstances within your life. We saw this both in Jesus' life and in Bonhoeffer's life and in lives of other saints that we have seen. The world raged around them, and yet they had peace, and they were not internally affected by all that was going around them in the world. They remained faithful. They traveled the path that God had set before them, a path that ultimately led to their deaths. And they traveled this path with a peace that the world simply didn't understand. Is this the depth of peace that you would long for, that you would like? I mean, it is a free gift. It's free from God for all those who will surrender their lives to Christ and come to the foot of the cross and at the foot of the cross lay down their burdens and take up their Lord and Savior. Lay your burdens at the foot of the cross. Jesus is saying to you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Christ is speaking of is also present in believers in spite of Jesus' physical absence. This is why Jesus followed verse 27 with verse 28 and 29, where he says, "You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place." Why? So that when it does take place, you may believe. See, there are two reasons the disciples and you and I should be at peace even though Jesus Christ is physically no longer here on earth. First, true love always seeks the best for others. It was in the best interest for Jesus to return to heaven and be reunited with the Father. Jesus gives us the reason that he wanted to return. It says, "For the Father is greater than I." Remember, during Jesus' time here on earth, he was incarnate. He was both God and man, and he assumed a position below God the Father. And then he assumed this position with a lower set of glory and divine position than God the Father. So by returning to heaven, he once again assumes his rightful position of greater glory and equal to the Father, his rightful triune position as part of the Godhead, one God with three personalities. Isn't this true also for us in a way? I mean, if we think about it, when someone dies, it's hard on the people left behind. But at the same time, as Christians, aren't we exalted to a state of perfection in heaven? Not in the same sense that God is perfect, but we enter into this perfect eternity with the most holy God. As Christians, we mourn the loss of those that we love. But we also rejoice. We rejoice that they finished the race, and as they got to heaven, they heard, "Welcome home. Enter into the presence of God." It doesn't get better than that. And then the second reason that the disciples, and ultimately you and I, should be at peace with Jesus' departure is often we've seen all through the Gospel of John that we've been studying so far. He said when he left, the Holy Spirit would come and dwell in us and teach us and live in us and give us this peace that Jesus was talking about. By the Holy Spirit is how we are able to believe. Believe in God, believe in Christ, believe in the truth of the Scriptures. And it gives us a relationship to God. And this is what Jesus meant in verse 29 when he said, so that when it does take place, you may believe. See, at this time that Jesus is instructing the disciples, they didn't understand that the resurrection followed the crucifixion. They didn't understand that the Holy Spirit followed Jesus' ascension. Jesus was telling the disciples that no matter what follows, even things from the world's perspective that is tragic, which that is hard, including being martyred, they're for your own good. They're for your growth in faith. They're for blessings in your life. And they're for the blessing of others. Can you actually get your mind around this and believe it? That all the things that God puts in your life, including the difficult and tragic things, they're for your good and they're for your blessing. Bonhoeffer understood that. He understood while he was in the concentration camp that he was there for a reason. God had a purpose. He understood this even as he was hung by the Nazis. See, it's by the trials that he was able to become a witness to Christ that other people believed. And other people would come to know the peace of Christ. And this is the reason he said, there is no way to peace along the way of safety. For peace must be dared. It is itself the great venture and can never be safe. Peace is the opposite of security. He's talking about the world's security. And now in the last two verses, verses 30 and 31, Jesus is also speaking of peace, but from a different viewpoint. He says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. See, these verses tell us that the peace of Christ should be in us even in the presence of the face of Satan and all the evil efforts around us. At the time of Jesus' instruction here in these verses to the disciples, Satan had entered into Judas. And he was working through Judas for Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion. Jesus confronted Judas how? He confronted Satan how? He confronted them strongly, but with peace. Satan worked hard to destroy Christ and he failed. His evil resulted in the fulfillment of God's plan for the salvation of mankind, not its destruction. Satan has a hold on people. And at times he can even influence and have a hold on believers. If we do not surrender ourselves to Christ, we have to let Christ stand before us and let Christ challenge Satan. And that's when Satan loses his grip on our lives. When I see these churches casting out demons and challenging Satan, I don't think they know what they're doing. Because it's only through the power of Jesus Christ that Satan has to bow, not us. Jesus defeated Satan when he defeated death. We must understand this and trust Christ. As Corrie ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. See, to have peace, we must have the strength of Christ. Our strength is found in Christ alone. It is through the peace of Christ that one sheds the worries of this world. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, Jesus has left us a legacy of peace. But we need to ask ourselves, have we entered into this peace? The scriptures talk about that we have free choices and free will. Because see, if we want Christ's peace, we have to surrender to Him. If we don't surrender to Christ, we will not know His peace because we're not allowing Him to enter our hearts and our minds. And our souls. Especially when this world crashes in around us. We've all experienced the loss of a job. Or the loss of children. A spouse. Illnesses that take our focus off Christ. And we begin to look inward and have pity. I mean, what does Satan and the world tell us? It teaches us that the world owes us. And it's all about us. Jesus teaches us that it's all about the glory of God. And He has given His own Son that we might have salvation and we might understand His glory. And what a gift this is. Why would we want to take our focus off Christ? Everything in our life should be lived for the glory of God. When we take our focus off ourselves and we place it back on Jesus where it belongs and surrender Him and trust in Him and have faith in Him, then that's when we will know the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with the words given to the prophet Isaiah by God as recorded in the 26th chapter of that wonderful book. In verses 1 to 4, they are called the Song of Judah. And they tell us how Isaiah speaking of the coming Messiah of Jesus. And it tells us how Jesus will keep us in His perfect peace. It says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. And then I like this next verse. It says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you talking about Christ, because he trusts in you. See, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. See, Jesus is that day, and Jesus is that perfect peace. It is the most precious gift God has given. And then our verse today, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe he is your Lord and Savior? Because if you truly believe, then you will know his peace. And nothing this world does can take it away from you. If you believe, you will have peace. Father, we thank you for this time in your word today. We thank you that you just show us so much depth in everything that you teach us. That you have so many dimensions that we can't even conceive them all. But yet you tell us enough. You give us as much as our minds can handle. You tell us how deep you are, what a great God you are, how deeply you love us. And if we can let go of ourselves, we can experience this love and experience your peace. Thank you, God. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.